Welcome to Radio Who, What, Why. I'm Jeff Shekman. If you hang around politics long enough, if you look at the patterns of money, dirty tricks, and sleazy people that are in politics for all the wrong reasons, it's amazing how often it all circles back to some of the very same people. The same billionaires and their political hacks appear over and over again. And yet it's not just running sleazy campaigns or disseminating misinformation. Today the goal, if it can't be achieved with the help of the Russians, is voter suppression. The techniques have been being perfected election after election. And my guest, Greg Pallast, has been looking at this in his books and his films. Greg Pallast is a reporter whose stories have appeared on BBC Television, The Guardian, and in Rolling Stone magazine. He's just released the updated post-election edition of his movie, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. It is my pleasure to welcome Greg Pallast to Radio Who, What, Why.
Glad to be back with you, Jeff.
One of the things that you've looked at recently in a recent Rolling Stone article is this character, Brett Doster, who was involved in the Bush campaign in Florida back many years ago and surfaces again in the Roy Moore campaign. Talk about who this guy is.
Yes, Judge Roy Moore. I know everyone's been attacking Roy Moore. And when he was judge, you know, he put up the Ten Commandments, and they're saying he's not living up to them. That's not really true. The Ten Commandments say you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. He didn't say anything about your neighbor's daughter.
Well, good point.
But the attack dog he has, a guy named Brett Doster, is his campaign chief, and the guy who's been attacking the women, who were molested. Let's cut this accusing stuff. Who were molested when they were teenagers. And so why do we care about Brett Doster? Because obviously this is a type of characters that will be running our government. He'll be in the United States. He'll be running Moore's operation in the United States Senate. Doster, I've been hunting this guy for years, for 10 years, tracking his mischief operations for right-wing candidates, including one. He ran the political operation for George W. Bush in Florida. One of the tricks he used to stop voters of color from voting, and, you know, when I say voters of color, I mean blue, like Democrats, is a trick called caging. Now, what is caging? Caging is a trick which, by the way, it's illegal. What you do is you send out letters. What Doster did was send out letters to people he knew were not home, would not be at their home address where they're registered to vote. Now, who's not at home at their voter registration address? Well, he would claim that they're ghost voters, that they're people who don't exist, and people are casting votes for these non-existent voters. Actually, people who are not at home at their home address includes soldiers who are overseas. It includes students, and in his case, he sent letters to students at the black colleges throughout Florida, students at black colleges who are away from Florida, away from their home address or somewhere else in Florida during the summer vacation. He sent letters to elderly Jews in Miami. I can't make this up. Send letters to elderly Jews in Miami who are known as snowbirds. They're in Miami for the winter, but then they go back home and visit their families in the summer up north. They're legal voters of Florida, but they aren't there when the letter arrives. And it does, and it says, do not forward. So what's the problem with that? When that letter comes back, Brett Doster and the Republican National Committee were challenging these voters' votes as non-existent voters, as ghost voters. They sent, and I kid you not, I have the list that I got my hands on, sent by Karl Rove's office to Brett Doster in Florida with the caging list. And these are lists of soldiers, one soldier after another at the Naval Air Station in Jacksonville, Florida. These are African-American and Hispanic soldiers who are overseas. We contacted one family, you know, said, you're on this list. And here's the evil thing. You don't even know you've lost your vote. You send in an absentee ballot. Your ballot's been challenged, and you don't know it. And so your vote doesn't get counted. And this is against the law. The Republican Party was found to have done this many years ago. They entered into a consent decree with the Justice Department saying they will never do this racist trick again. It's against the law. You can't steal people's votes, especially when you're targeting voters of color or you're targeting Jewish voters, which is targeting a religion. You cannot do that in the United States of America. But he did it anyway. Now this guy's running Judge Moore's campaign and attacking women who have stepped forward to talk about, Judge Molester.
How did this practice of caging get started? Where does it come from?
It started out many years ago. I think it was in the 60s with the Republican Party sending out letters to voters. As I say, they pick out, Democrats, but particularly they can go by ethnicity. And they know when voters are not going to be home. And so they got caught doing this. You cannot systematically target voters because of their religion. You can't target voters because of their race. And by the way, you can't illegally block someone from voting, no matter what their race or religion. But the Republicans were caught doing this, and under both the Voting Rights Act of 1965 and other voting rights laws, which apply to everyone, they agreed not to ever do this trick again, where they would get these caging. The reason, by the way, it's called caging, it's a term of art used in direct mail. When you send out letters to people and they return usually letters with money in them, believe it or not, people who work in these in direct mail industry, when they're taking checks out of an envelope, they do so in a locked cage, and that's why it's called caging.
Talk a little bit the degree to which this has expanded beyond some of these small efforts of Dosters in Florida. How big a problem is it?
Massive. We just found out in states where, because the thing is, so many elections are actually quite close. We knew that in Florida in 2000. The presidency of the United States was determined by 537 votes. That's it, 537 votes. Now, I know Doster's operation, I actually have the internal emails sent to Doster, which are supposed to be highly confidential. How I got them is kind of a funny story, but it has a tremendous effect. They were challenging hundreds of thousands of voters in Florida, Wisconsin, North Carolina, and several other states. And this is enough to literally swing the presidency. We just had a vote in Virginia. Right now we are facing recounts in three races where Democrats seem to have come up short anywhere from 14 votes to 89 votes. So a few votes makes a big difference.
To what extent is Doster operating on his own, or is it part of a larger scheme?
Very much a larger scheme. And as if this were just about one bad apple, Brett Doster, you could say, okay, him and Moore are a creepy pair, let them go off in the sunset. But that's not what's happening. Doster was not minor. He was acting in Florida with this caging game. He was acting at the behest of Karl Rove's office at the Republican National Committee. In fact, the guy that sent him the email is a guy named Tim Griffin, who was what they call a research director. In other words, he's the hitman, gets dirt on the opposition. It was sent by this guy, Tim Griffin. I put the emails from Tim Griffin to Brett Doster on the air on BBC television at the top of the nightly news. By the next morning, Tim Griffin, the guy who sent the emails, who's Karl Rove's assistant, resigned as U.S. prosecutor. So he lost his job. But Brett Doster was not on the U.S. payroll. He was on the Bush campaign. He's always a campaign operative. So his job was not in danger. I should tell you, I tried to reach Doster. I flew to Tallahassee and literally physically chased him around the Capitol, and he was dodging me. Finally, he sent out a PR person to say that the list of people he was mailing letters to, it was not to come up with a way to get them knocked off the voter rolls. Remember, he sends letters to people who aren't home. He says, do not forward. The letters come back, and he says, that's evidence they don't exist. He said, we were actually sending letters to our Republican donors, Republican Party donors. I showed his spokeswoman a list of hundreds of names of voters registered out of a homeless shelter in Florida. A homeless shelter. And I said, these are your Republican donors? Really? So that's the type of game playing. And so it was done at the behest of the Republican National Committee, Tim Griffin, head of research for the RNC. And Griffin, and by the way, I'm going to believe, Griffin said he never sent the emails. Even though it's from his machine, it says, from Tim Griffin, there are 50 emails that I captured. He says he never did it. He never sent those emails. Now, how does that happen? The answer that I have, and I've never gotten a no from Karl Rove, he was Karl Rove's assistant. Karl Rove, a computer genius, does not and will never have a computer because it could always be grabbed by law enforcement. So Karl Rove has no computer. His assistant does. His assistant says he never sent out these letters, these caging letters. Karl Rove is a known expert at caging, by the way, which is when it's not used in political purposes, if it's just used to sell you, you know, toothbrushes through the mail, it's perfect. Caging is legal. He is a caging expert. So was it Karl Rove who sent out the emails? Anyway, it came from the top of the Republican Party. Doster is a top operative of the Republican Party. And, you know, they were targeting black voters, black students, black soldiers, Jewish voters, not because they have a particular hatred of Jewish, black, or Hispanic voters. They just don't like the color of their vote, which is blue.
Is there any reason to think that similar tactics are done by Democratic operatives anywhere?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, the Democratic Party has its hands in a lot of these Jim Crow operations. You say, wait a minute, they're knocking off black voters? Yes, they do. Because when Democrats remove voters, it's usually the same targeted group, which is black voters, poor Hispanics, Native American voters, because Democrats usually do their purging and games, playing games with the voter rolls, in primaries, when it's battles between Democrats. So, for example, the Secretary of State of New Mexico some years ago, Rebecca Vigil Heron, Hispanic Democrat, I caught her removing and not counting the votes of Hispanic soldiers sending in their absentee ballots from overseas. Now, why would a Hispanic Democrat stop the count of Hispanic voters? The answer is because of war inside the Democratic Party in New Mexico. So that's what happens. We saw that, and in fact, David Iglesias, who was fired by George Bush and at Karl Rove's request, this is a special prosecutor or a U.S. prosecutor for New Mexico. He refused to go along with these vote suppression tactics. And we use the term suppression. We mean vote theft. Vote suppression tactics, he refused to go along, so he got fired. But he did actually arrest Democratic officials who were deliberately blocking the vote of Native Americans in the Pueblos of New Mexico because they didn't like the way that they were voting within the Democratic Party. So, unfortunately, Democrats are not as sophisticated. They're not as good at it. They don't use the massive computer-driven techniques like caging. We have another system called cross-check that remove hundreds of thousands of voters across the nation. But Democrats still do it, unfortunately.
To what degree can any of this be monitored by the other political party or by the public in general?
Well, it can be monitored by any political party. And I would say, you know, John Kerry believed that he lost the election because of this caging trick. And he put in legislation with the late Ted Kennedy to make it a crime. It already is a crime, but he wanted to tighten up the law. So, but, you know, Kerry didn't raise hell during the election. He didn't raise hell right after the election. The Democratic Party is very, very reluctant to take on these issues. So the public has to do it. And you have great groups like the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under the Law. I can tell you that the Brennan Center for Justice and the ACLU are bringing legal actions against the state of Indiana. I just got off the phone with a lawyer bringing a case against the state of Virginia where they just had this vote. Democrats say, oh, we won despite, and there's no vote suppression there. Well, yes, there is. In fact, you have a Democratic legislature if there weren't more racial suppression tricks afoot in Virginia. So, yeah, the parties can do it, but the parties don't do it because they each have their, you know, they both parties have dirty hands. The Republicans, the fact that the Republicans are better at it doesn't, you know, the Democrats don't want to bring this up. And as you know, Hillary Clinton said ridiculously, no presidential candidate has ever challenged the election vote for president, forgetting that Al Gore was in the Supreme Court in 2000. I mean, many elections in America have been contested bitterly over the last two centuries. And so the Democratic Party's put itself in a corner saying our election system is wonderful, and it ain't.
Are there new tricks coming along for voter suppression?
Absolutely. The worst trick, no question, that's pretty new. That is, it's now widespread. You have to understand that the Voting Rights Act in 2013 was gutted by the Supreme Court. And with the gutting of the Voting Rights Act, a new trick called cross-check was implemented. And that was created by a guy named Chris Kobach of Kansas. If that sounds familiar, this is the guy in charge of Trump's so-called vote fraud commission. Trump and his guy Chris Kobach claim that there are 3 million voters who voted twice in America or are registered in two different states to vote twice. So the same guy voting in two states, same woman voting in two different states. 3 million. And it would not, if you know, it's been derided by the press as a bad joke, but it's not a joke because they actually have the list of 3 million. And it's people with names like Maria Hernandez. This is a real example. They say Maria Hernandez of Georgia is the same voter as Maria Hernandez of Virginia. Now, I know, Jeff, you're going to say, hey, isn't that just a common Hispanic name, Maria Hernandez? Well, it's not common for a Republican. They're saying that if your name is Maria Hernandez and they see that on two different states' voter rolls, it's got to be the same person. In fact, in this case, it's Maria Inez Hernandez, and in one state, and it's Maria Cristina Hernandez in another state. And they're saying that that's the same voter. And I got to tell you, I had experts go through the actual list. We ran through computers, the whole list. 2 million names are mismatched on middle name alone. You've got junior and senior. In other words, father and son are listed as the same person. They are challenging the votes of these people. About 1 in 8 is getting knocked off the voter rolls. And so in the last election, 2016 election, we had about 1.1 million people who were removed from the voter rolls by this system called cross-check. And I got to tell you, they're not just any people. Who has common names? Okay? It's like Martinez. So you see a lot of Maria Martinez. You see Jose Garcia. You see John Black. You see Joseph Washington. And you see a lot of people with the last name Kim, a lot of Asian Americans. There's like four main names for all of Korean Americans. And they all vote, and these are groups that vote heavily Democratic. And so when you remove a million names, you're removing a huge Democratic constituency, and it made the difference in states like Michigan.
What are you finding in terms of the degree to which citizens, average people, care about this or willing to really focus on this issue?
Ooh, so when people are told about it, one thing, the reason why this stuff is secret, the reason why Brett Doster's caging operation was secret, the reason why cross-check operates in secrecy is that Americans really believe the vote should be fair. Democrats, Republicans, doesn't matter. Most overwhelmingly, Americans believe everyone has a right to vote. Every legitimate vote should be counted. And people get angry, and people do want to do something about it. The problem is that we don't have much discussion about it in the U.S. because we want to maintain this myth that we have the most wonderful democracy on the planet. And I wish that were true.
Greg Pallas, thanks so much for spending time with us here on Radio Who, What, Why.
You're terrific. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. Thank you for listening and joining us here on Radio Who, What, Why. I hope you join us next week for another Radio Who, What, Why podcast. I'm Jeff Scheckman. If you like this podcast, please feel free to share and help others find it by rating and reviewing it on iTunes. You can also support this podcast and all the work we do by going to whowhatwhy.org/donate.